Good morning.
Good morning, Sensei.
In the practice of psychoanalysis, one of the fundamental things, unconscious in particular, that is always an issue in the process of psychoanalysis is the issue of death. And the fear of dying is a theme throughout all the different manifestations of therapy in psychoanalysis. Now, that's not the way that I work. So I'm going to ask a question, sort of somewhat of a rhetorical question, but I'd like you to think about it. And that is, are you ready to die? Are you ready to die? Now, for many of us, this question can be quite upsetting, unsettling, and difficult to even entertain. Yet if we're not ready to die, then we're really not ready to live. You all know Suzuki Roshi, who is the founder of the San Francisco Zen Center and also the author of sort of a seminal work in Zen, which is called Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. And Suzuki says, to live in the realm of Buddha nature means to die as a small being moment by moment by moment. So we come here in this place in Montclair, New Jersey, to die. Many of you may not look at it that way, but the bottom line is, we're here to die. Master Shido Bunan, in the first line of a Waka poem, wrote, "Die while alive and be completely dead." So what do these teachers mean exactly? Well, they're referring to the death of our idea of this moment, and to the death of our idea who it is that is experiencing this moment. And in Zen, this is referred to as the Great Death. Zen Master Dogen describes it this way. The whole universe shatters into 100 pieces. In the Great Death, there is no heaven, no earth. Once body and mind have turned over, there is only this to say. Past mind cannot be grasped, present mind cannot be grasped, and future mind cannot be grasped. So in practical terms, if I'm grounded in the idea that I am Carl and you are you, then my experience is that we're different and we're separate. When my mind is still, that is, it stops producing ideas of who I am and who you are, I have a very different experience. I directly experience that we are not really separate, but we're one. I also experience that I am not less because of the death of this idea of a separate self. So I come here and have come to many places like this for over 40 years to continue to die. Week after week, day after day, die. But we're really much more. We discover that we're much more if we allow ourselves to die. We've all heard of the famous French philosopher René Descartes, and he famously said, "I think, therefore I am." Now the Zen experience would add, "I don't think, therefore I am not." Non-thinking, that is, a still mind, is the death of a separate self and a separate reality. When the thinking machine is quiet, when our mind is quiet, we realize who we really are. And that old idea, the idea of who we think we are, fades away, it dies. Kalu Rinpoche expressed it in this way. You live in illusions and in the appearance of things. But there's a reality beyond illusion. And you and I are that reality. And when we recognize this, we will realize that we are really nothing. And being nothing, you are everything. You know, but it's difficult because if I come up to you on the street and said, you're nothing, right? We hold so tightly to that ego, to that sense of self, we would become angry, offended. But really, somebody saying to you, you are nothing, is a compliment. I'm not talking about you are nothing in the mean sense. That's a little bit different. Dying this great death actually brings us to life. When all that stuff, all those ideas, all the attachments that we have to ourselves, when they die away, when we let go of them, that's when we really come to life. And it brings us to life in ways that we could never have imagined. And through this process, we realize fully who we are. Right? So it's not an exchange of ideas, you know, so now we have a new idea of who we are. All of that drops away and we have what we name a realization, right? A direct experience of who we are. And we say in Zen, we realize our Buddha nature, our true selves. And this experience transforms how we live our lives. But as Suzuki pointed out, we must die into each moment. It's not just a, okay, work's done. It's we must die into each moment. Each moment we must continually let go of our idea of ourselves as only a separate self. So, it's sort of ironic, but to really be alive, we must continually be dying. Now, at this point, there's an important point that needs to be made. We should not be deceived into thinking that one way of seeing is preferential to the other. That would also be more delusion. And there's a classic saying in Zen, no leaning. No leaning. And that's because both experiences are valid. The world of this and that, of me and you, and the world of non-separation, or what we call oneness. And the two experiences must be integrated into one reality, or there is the danger that we will continue to function in the world in a lopsided way. My teacher, Roshi Kennedy, spoke to this point when he said, In the Zen world, there is often an emphasis on clarity of mind. On insight. Sometimes it is not how clear your mind is, but how dirty your hands are from working for others. Let me repeat that. Sometimes it's not how clear your mind is, but how dirty your hands are from working for others. Emptiness must function in concert with form. Insight must be integrated and actualized in the relative world. Now, I was thinking about these things in terms of our discussion of white privilege. And to be free, if that's possible, from this identity of being white, we must drop all ideas, subtle and obvious, of who we believe we are, or who I speak for myself, who I believe as that I am as a white person. It really requires, in my experience, paying attention, especially the subtle side. There's so many cultural ways, day after day, an insidious way that reinforces for me the idea that I am white and somehow special. Now, all these subtle ideas that I allow myself to embody creates separation. It allows me, or it causes me, to have the experience of black and white, us and them, man and woman, good and bad, and on and on and on. So that separation contributes to this problem of white privilege. The very fact that it creates separation, it takes me away from the wholeness of life. Now, I don't know how many of you watched it, but there was the YouTube video that Cicely suggested watching. It was an interview. It was a really lovely interview, actually, with Angel Kodo Williams, who's a Zen teacher, a black woman who's a Zen teacher, and author of a book called Radical Dharma. And there was something that, I mean, there was a lot of stuff that she said which was important and insightful. And if you saw it, she had a wonderful spirit. Her nature and her spirit, to me, really helped me to listen. She talks about we have to develop a practice, right? Just like we have a Zen practice, and there's probably no difference, a practice of having a conversation about these issues. And the conversation must be about the truth, leaving nothing unsaid, leaving nothing behind. It's a conversation about the truth. And I think that's what Cicely and Susan are offering us, the beginning to have this conversation. Again, I should be speaking for myself, allowing me to have a conversation which will help me die, will help me let go of all these ideas, both unconscious and conscious, that cause me to subtly, and some many, many times without realizing it, to be the measuring stick for human beings. You know, there's white and then there's everything else, as Cicely said last week, is compared to white, is in relation to white. So, this is one other way that I find myself now coming to practice to die. It's to allow all these things which affirm my whiteness as special to die, to let go of them. So I look forward to some more dying today. And nobody can hold our hands, by the way. We have to do it ourselves. 10,000 flowers in spring, the moon in autumn, a cool breeze in summer, snow in winter. If your mind isn't clouded by unnecessary things, this is the best season of your life. Thank you.